Hi, kids. I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Britney Spears' father, Jamie, vacated his daughter's conservatorship, Trevor Noah said. And props to her fans for making this happen, because you know who is really ahead of the curve? The Leave Britney Alone person. At the time, we were like, well, it's a little over the top. And now we're like, yeah, let's put this thing on the Supreme Court. Trevor, again, I mean, Britney Spears is worth $60 million. Yeah, but she doesn't need a conservator. You know who does? People with $60 billion. Those people are out of control. I mean, name one thing Britney's done that was wasteful and just as mindless as going into space in a giant penis. Speaking of which, did you see William Shatner, age 90, is going to be going to space? I imagine that will make for a lot of late night jokes later in the week. Hey, there's a new Dave Chappelle special on Netflix today. Just yesterday, Netflix released a trailer for the special. It's called The Closer. You can find it on your Netflix right now. I plan on watching it this evening, and I'll tell you about it on Thursday, the way the production flow on this podcast works. The trailer features Morgan Freeman narrating over footage. Now, for all the half-ass impressions I do, I don't do a Morgan Freeman. I wouldn't even know how to do a Morgan Freeman. So I'll just read it as me. He's deep in thought, back in the trance, 5 specials in as many years. How do you close a body of work that profound? That's it. Looking forward to seeing that one. The Guardian asks, Saturday Night Live, has the show found a new comedy star? I'm going to jump in right away. I had decided this before midnight on Saturday. I say yes, James Austin Johnson is the new star of Saturday Night Live. Did you see the episode? I was actually up on Saturday night and watched the first half hour or so live. That never happens. I fall asleep on the couch, but it was 11:37 and I was playing on my phone and I saw somebody tweet about the show and I was like, oh yeah, that's a thing. Normally I watch it on Sunday evening after the NFL, but there was that whole Tom Brady game. Did you see that? I digress. So if you missed the episode, it started off with James Austin Johnson. He's one of the new cast members playing Joe Biden. So it was stunning. Just a new season starts and here's a cast member you've never seen before, which was pretty impressive. And that's what the tweet was about that I saw that made me watch. Has anybody ever launched to such a high profile spot? It's been a while if they have. So there was an okay Biden sketch. The Biden impression is pretty good. It will definitely do the job. Cecily Strong did a good Kirsten Sinema, and I liked Melissa Villaseñor's AOC. Melissa does not get enough run on the show. Then Pete Davidson came out to do Andrew Cuomo, which is fantastic. I love that impression, and I was worried that we wouldn't get any more Andrew Cuomo, the former governor of New York, but Pete Davidson was back with that. That was great. Pete is always great on the show. Running through the show, Owen Wilson did a monologue. Then we saw Star Trek Ego Quest, a pretty good sketch about a Star Trek spinoff that promises a midlife crisis of cosmic proportions, making fun of Jeff Bezos, the captain of a new penis-shipped Enterprise, and how ironic, because now Shatner is going to space. Who knew? In the sketch, along with his first mate and brother Mark, played by Luke Wilson, Jeff Bezos hangs out and does battle with fellow weirdo billionaires and would-be space explorers Richard Branson and Elon Musk. Good sketch. In the next one, Owen Wilson finds himself at Pixar to do the voice work for Cars 4. Things start normal, but as he goes down the lines, his character starts to say things like, back off, jackass, I'm not looking at your wife, or calm down, jerk off, I didn't touch your daughter, she was coming on to me, and grow up, man, your sister sure did. Wilson has suspicions about Disney turning Lightning McQueen into a creepy perv, and then Larry the Cable Guy comes on, a great impression done again by new breakout star James Austin Johnson. Now, he didn't really look like Larry, but, you know, he went without sleep. But the impression was on point. Then a sketch about a school board meeting. That wasn't bad. Weekend update. Not the best weekend update I've ever seen. But at the end of that, they did a tribute to Norm MacDonald and played 3 or 4 jokes by Norm behind the weekend update desk at the end. That was very nice. Pete Davidson dropped by weekend update to talk about being at the Met Gala last week. He made fun of his own outfit. The joke, I look like if one of the 3 blind mice sold fentanyl. A sketch that I liked a lot, again, starred James Austin Johnson. He broke out a Joe Buck impression, same as the Larry the Cable Guy, vocally on point. He didn't really look like Joe Buck. I don't know what you make Joe Buck look like, but he didn't look like Joe Buck, but vocally on point. While awaiting an injury update, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman pitch an awful-sounding new sitcom called Crazy House, which confusingly stars a monster puppet and features guest appearances from DaBaby and Stacey Abrams. Joe Buck grows increasingly frustrated with the ridiculous taglines and story synopsis he's tasked with giving, as well as Troy Aikman's giddy questioning over the bizarre details. The Guardian writes, Austin has a talent for nailing more than just voices, instead finding the nuances in his subjects' inflections and the tics that define their public image. And he nailed... If you watch sports on Fox, Joe Buck has to read ridiculous things, and you can tell by the way he verbally rolls his eyes, I don't know how else to describe it, that Joe doesn't want to read these things. And Johnson nailed that part of the impression. Very good episode. Now, Variety writes that the 50-year mark, which is coming up, is something that motivated Lorne Michaels to do whatever it took to keep some of his longest-running players around long enough so that they will be part of NBC in 2024. So, for example, Kate McKinnon, I think she appeared for 3 seconds, if at all. So maybe that's, you don't have to rehearse all week, just pop in Saturday for 5 minutes so we can pretend you're on the show. I don't know. Variety says, part of the strategy is what seems to be the formation of a new tier in the cast that allows veterans the freedom to do TV and film outside SNL, like A.D. Bryant and Cecily Strong did for Hulu's Shrill and Apple TV Plus's Schmigadoon, which I have to finish, by the way. There's just so much TV again. Variety adds, in the SNL of the future, it will be like no one ever leaves. They'll just have a looser affiliation with the series that keeps them in the show's orbit, albeit using more sparingly than when they were full-time. And that's the problem. The more time SNL gives over to celebrity cameos and veteran part-timers, the less there is to foster the next generation of talent that's so crucial to groom for the future viability of the show. Part of the problem is that nobody's overstaying their welcome. Even at a record 19-season run, Kenan Thompson is a solid contributor. I laugh every time he's on the screen. Other standouts like McKinnon and Strong will be embraced even in smaller doses. Anyway, pretty good premiere episode, but I'm really excited about James Austin Johnson. Jerry Seinfeld was on Fallon and was reflecting on being age 67. Jerry said, I had to go on The Tonight Show and Letterman like 80 times and then roast my nuts doing a TV series for 9 years. Should I break out angry, Jerry? It sounded like I should with that cadence, right? Then I had 3 kids. I had to straighten their insane asses out, and then I had to make a movie about a bee. And he started talking about the B movie and said, I apologize for what seems to be a certain uncomfortable, subtle sexual aspect of the B movie, which really was not intentional. But after it came out, I realized, this is really not appropriate for children because the B seems to have a thing for the girl. The AV Club said, in case you skipped the B movie, and I don't think I've seen it, it has caused people to use the phrase bestiality, B-E-E-stiality. In the movie, Seinfeld voices Barry, a bee who can talk to humans, who falls for florist Vanessa. Vanessa has a boyfriend who really wants to kill Barry, but that doesn't stop Barry from developing feelings for her, and she chooses Barry over her boyfriend. It's supposed to be a movie that motivates people to protect bees, but it's impossible to look past the horny bee trying to get it on with a human. Barry being a horny little bee has been the subject of memes for years after the movie's release in 2007. From Deadline, Comedy Central has inked a deal with Comedy Dynamics to license and distribute hundreds of iconic albums from the network's library, including Kevin Hart's Amy Schumer and Bo Burnham. This agreement is through Comedy Central Records. Steve Raises, SVP of Podcast Viacom CBS and a personal friend, says this exciting partnership with Comedy Dynamics will enable Comedy Central to unleash the rich and expansive content in our vast library of comedy greats. Blah, blah, blah. Love Steve. Good guy. Not a fan of press release quotes, but Steve Raises, SVP of Podcast Viacom CBS. Awesome guy, as are the people at Comedy Dynamics, including Brian Volkweis. The titles include Kevin Hart, Bo Burnham, Hannibal Buress, Joe Rogan, Hedberg, Norm, Aziz, Attell, Mulaney, Natasha Leggero, Joe Coy, Amy, Spade, Gaffigan, Mark Maron, Maria Bamford, Whitney Cummings. Mentioned Larry the Cable Guy earlier. I don't know what went down here. I noticed Friday night, Saturday night, Larry the Cable Guy was trending, and I went, huh, what's this? We got this covered, said Larry's comments about COVID-19 have caught the attention of more people. Several medical doctors have taken a calling out Larry the Cable Guy to hold him accountable. According to We Got This Covered, it seems Larry was unable to stop the overwhelming amount of evidence against him and began to block doctors en masse. Of course, Twitter did what it does best and started to roast the actor and those that believed him over medical experts. Seems that a lot of the people I worked with in comedy during the 2010s and I don't agree on medicine. Today is Tuesday, which means when you're done with this podcast, you're going to download and listen to All Pearl Lines, Kostaki Economopoulos, and Aaron Hodges talking football and doing jokes. I even booted up their Twitter feed so I could steal some of their jokes from at All Pearl Lines. Bills beat the Texans 40-0. It was a statement game for the Bills. The Texans had a statement too. It was a statement of the cops about the beating they took. Here's another one, and Kostaki tells these better, of course. He is a professional comedian. I am some wannabe manager podcaster sitting in a basement. So go to All Pro Lines and get Kostaki to tell the lines properly. But here's one. Gronk says he has 4 broken ribs and a punctured lung. I'm not a doctor, but that sounds serious. Probably can't cure that by rubbing it with vodka and a porn star, but it's worth a try. All Pro Lines, so they recap the games a little bit, tell some jokes a lot of it. Aaron and Kostaki, All Pro Lines, wherever you get your shows. Seriously, it is at the top of my queue on Tuesdays, one of my favorite listens of the week. All Pro Lines, wherever you get your podcasts. Gary Goldman said about his new special, the one thing I wanted to repeat from the last special was that I wanted to do something with a theme because I really admire the work of Mike Birbigley and Colin Quinn and others. I know a lot of British comedians have done that, and I know a lot of people that I really admire have done theme specials, and I love the specials that are just funny and just jokes, and I don't mean to put them down by just saying just, because being funny and telling jokes is a hard thing. He told the Laugh Button, I'm now drawn to having a theme or an overarching thread or story to get it together. That's what I'm doing with the new tour, which is also autobiographical, but it's not nearly as heavy. It doesn't take as much out of me as maybe it did the last time. Remember, there were some nights when I was touring the Great Depression where I'd say, I don't have the energy at a Friday night late show or a comedy club in the Midwest or wherever to do jokes that a lot of the people maybe aren't as comfortable with as they are in bigger cities. And that's how it broke down regionally. There were comedy clubs that were more difficult to do this thing in. And I think it's just a matter of taste of regional culture that they were more resistant. This is an easier sell. All right, Vulture's got their Tuesday night show at Union Hall. Tonight, it's hosted by Marsha Belsky, Jay Jordan, and Zach Zimmerman. The show, Zach Zucker, Spike Einbinder, Grace Kuhlenschmidt, Chris Gethard, and more. That's at Union Hall. They do a show every Tuesday. The North Coast Comedy Festival starts tonight in New York City. Yes, New York City is the North Coast, bringing together a diverse and eclectic group of performers from around the globe. The festival will book 6 days of back-to-back improv, stand-up, and sketch performances with an emphasis on musical comedy. All the shows will be held at Asylum in New York City in Chelsea. Tonight at 7, Women Aren't Funny Showcase, 8:30. Anybody, an improvised historical hip-hopera in the style of Hamilton. That's awesome. 10 o'clock, $5 show. We out here. Opening night hip-hop improv jam. That's called the North Coast Comedy Festival, going on all week. Looks like a lot of fun. All right, I told you about the Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/DCNpod. That's the page I started for you and I and all of us together. You don't even need me to be part of it to discuss comedy. So if you see something funny or if you're a comedian, you want to promote your show, go to the Facebook group. Dan Bublitz posted something he saw that was pretty cool. A comic book, Comedy is Dying. And I was interested in this, so I did some research. Comedy is Dying is a satirical comic that asks, does cancel culture actually exist, or is it an excuse to write off celebrities' toxic behavior? It centers around a washed-up comedian named Melville Snelson, who rose to fame in the 90s thanks to his shock-filled stand-up routines. He even claims to have dated Janine Garofalo. Unfortunately, Snelson's career has petered out since. It'd have you believe he's a victim of 21st century cancel culture. Others would argue he simply failed to evolve with the times. Either way, Snelson is desperate to reclaim the spotlight by any means necessary. It was scheduled to run for 5 issues. The first issue came out back in August, so we probably are at the end of the run now. Snelson Comedy is Dying, if you want to check that out. Facebook.com/groups/dailycomedynews. Now, this is the part of the show where I ask for coffee, but I have a story today. So Becky went to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews, and Becky wrote, thanks, Johnny Mac. Love the show. I sent you a message of 4 kids enjoying Bob's Burgers. If that's not proof, I don't know what is. Okay, now this is extra funny. What I did in real life, let me drop the bit for a second. Let me drop the bit. I'm dropping the bit. In real life, I just took out my phone. Becky had DM'd me on Instagram and sent me a picture of, I'm doing this from memory, and that's part of the story. It was a living room with some lovely children, and on a TV screen was Bob's Burgers. And I was about to do a bit right now about how clearly Becky had Photoshopped Bob's Burgers onto the screen. And Becky and I actually went back and forth on it. She had written proof for 6th graders enjoying the heck out of Bob's Burgers. I wrote, that's an awesome Photoshop. She said, if I was going to Photoshop, I wouldn't have included my beat up couch. But here's the thing as we segue back into the bit. The photo won't load. Becky, why is the photo gone? Is this not a conspiracy? Supposedly, Becky had sent me a picture of Bob's Burgers on a TV, and now I want to share this with everyone to prove that Bob's Burgers does exist, and I can't. Why did the picture disappear? It's as if Bob's Burgers doesn't exist, and maybe I had a lot of alcohol Friday night before I was on Instagram, and I imagined Becky has sent me a picture. Becky, I appreciate the coffee, but I am befuddled why this picture will not load, and that's pretty funny to me. If you are a new listener, I have two questions for you. One, have you ever seen Bob's Burgers? The answer is no. Two, have you ever met anyone who has seen Bob's Burgers? I know allegedly Becky knows some sixth graders who have claimed to have watched Bob's Burgers, but there is no photographic evidence. You hear me tapping my phone? Here's my phone. Do you hear the tap? Why won't this photo load? And by the way, I saw Fox promoting Bob's Burgers on Sunday, conveniently up against Tom Brady versus the Patriots. You think anybody even checked Fox to see if this thing was on? Come on. That's your comedy news for today. BuyMeACoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Follow the show on Instagram at Daily Comedy News. Follow the show as a podcast, which you might already do since you're hearing my voice, at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. Spotify is the other one. See you tomorrow.